The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
Well, it's good to see everyone back tonight, and I hope you had as good a day as I did. It was a beautiful day. I didn't get to get outside any during the course of the day, but it felt good when I was coming out at the end of the day, and so I know it was a good day. But it's the best day because we can be back together in worship and in study of God's Word, and I hope that that's what we will accomplish while we're here. I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And notice a couple of verses in the early part of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 starts out by saying, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen." And he goes on talking a little more about faith and some things here in the following verses. Skip down to verse 6. He says, "And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him." And so here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we call it a chapter on faith, this great chapter. And it is a chapter that discusses faith from beginning to end. And really the discussion begins even before that at the very end of chapter 10. I always like to start with the last verse, really, of chapter 10, verse 39, where he said, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." And then he goes on to talk about faith at length in the following chapter. He starts off by defining faith in verse 1, and in verse 6, he talks about how that faith is demanded. And then in the rest of the chapter, he is showing us example after example of men and women during Bible times of who had faith. People who had faith to the saving of their soul, as that last verse of chapter 10 talks about. That's what he's showing here in chapter 11. And we're familiar with these verses and a lot of these examples in talking about faith. And it is an important chapter for one to study. I just wonder, if this chapter was penned today, would our names be listed here? Would our names be listed among the faithful in the church of our Lord today, like these worthies were found listed here? Would we be found to be worthy to be numbered among men and women like are mentioned in this chapter? We ought to stop and consider whether or not our name would have a place in a chapter about faith like this. Another passage I wanted us to note is over in 1 John chapter 5. And really the first six verses I have on the screen, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. Read the entire context here. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. John says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. And whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood." And so here John is also speaking about faith. And he says there, as we have quoted in verse 4, that faith is the victory. It's the victory that overcometh the world. Faith. We sang about that just a few moments ago by special request of the visiting preacher. Kenny led that, although he said he didn't know how to lead it, but it was a good one. He did well. And I appreciate him leading that song for us. And that's really what I want us to talk about tonight, is how faith is the victory. Notice some things about faith and how that it is able to give us the victory over the world. Basically, I'm going to look at just three areas. I don't want to say 3 points because each one has a lot of other points to go with them. But let's talk about how about faith being the victory. And the first thing I wanted us to note tonight is this point, that faith believes the incredible. Faith believes the incredible. Now, I don't know how many will remember, but back in the 1980s, there was a TV show called That's Incredible. And I see some head shaking, so some do remember that show. And it was an interesting show to watch and to be able to see some really incredible things that people were doing. And the word incredible, by the way, means not credible, too extraordinary and improbable to admit to believe. So some really remarkable things. There was an acrobat featured on the show. He would stand there in the middle of the road, and at the very last second, he would jump high up in the air, and the car that was coming at him would just go right under him. And that was incredible. Or a man that was able to catch arrows fired at him with his bare hands. Or a daredevil who would catch a bullet with his teeth. I wonder, the truthfulness of some of those. One show featured a woman from South Africa who became the surrogate mother for her daughter, and thus she was the mother of her children as well as one of her grandchildren. That's sad. but that's what was going on at that day and time in our history. There was a Frenchman who ate a 10-speed bicycle. There was a man who could squeeze himself into a small cube the size of a milk crate, 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot. What? He was able to do it. There were some truly remarkable things that were being featured on the show. But it turned out really that it was a show less to do with incredible people than it was about the incredible things that people would do just to try to get on the show. And they would risk everything just to try to make it on that show. And there were people who, one man nearly lost a foot. Another burned his fingers to the stumps. And a third suffered fractures and a ruptured aorta as a result of some of the things that happened. But those were the lucky ones. There were 6 people that actually died just trying to get on that show. Trying to perform incredible things, and they gave up their life for it. Faith believes the incredible. Faith is able to believe some really incredible things. For one, we can believe about where this world came from if we have faith. And we can read back in back over in Hebrews again. We skipped over verse 3 when we read in verse 1 and then skipped down to verse 6. But verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which appear. By faith we understand. By faith we know and understand where this world came from. Back in Psalms 33 and in verses 8 and 9, said, let all the earth fear Jehovah, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's incredible. That God could just speak, and it would become. He could speak things into existence. But we're told by college professors now about the Big Bang Theory, and that just in one moment of a Big Bang, a big explosion, that everything happened to come into existence. Well, where did the substance come from that exploded to begin with? Well, it had to come from somewhere. They don't ever try to answer that one. I've always felt like it takes a whole lot more faith to believe, a whole lot more of something to believe that, than it does to believe the story that God gives us about where this world came from. Our faith in God causes us to understand that this world came into existence because God spoke it into existence. It can help us to see the incredible about the resurrection. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can read about Paul and some things that he said about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 17, he talks about resurrection. And he was writing as he was here because there were some that were denying that there would be a general resurrection of the dead. But he said, beginning at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Now if Christ is preached that he hath been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, then is our preaching vain. Your faith also is vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Well, he says a lot there. Sermons come out of this passage, and, you know, for good reason. But Paul makes it clear that, you know, if there is no general resurrection, then neither was Christ raised. That was the whole message of salvation, that Jesus was put to death, he was put in the tomb, and on the third day he was raised again. And when you think about resurrection, that's incredible. You know, our bodies come to an end and they die, and we bury them, but there's going to be a resurrection where life will come again to our mortal bodies, as we are raised from the dead to meet the Lord in the air. Well, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and in verses 14 through 18. Notice what Paul says there about the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning of verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So he tells us we're going to be raised. And that's incredible. And it's something that we can believe. If we have faith, we can understand about the resurrection. And that we can be a part of that resurrection because of that faith that we have. Because of faith, we can believe the incredible when it comes to the miracles that are recorded in Scripture. In John, the 20th chapter, as John is bringing his gospel to a close, he writes about the miracles that are recorded in his gospel. John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31. He said, "Many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name." So many miracles that Jesus did, signs and wonders. But he only recorded a few of them, and he recorded these so that we could believe that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of Almighty God. Miracles, that's remarkable to see someone healed of their sickness, or to see someone even raised from the dead. Remarkable. But we can believe it because of faith. Over in Hebrews chapter 2 and in the first four verses, the writer of Hebrews talks about these signs. He's been talking here in the first part of this chapter about the word. Now, he says in verse 2, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every trespass and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." So those signs and wonders, the manifold powers, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, were to confirm the message that they were preaching. But that's pretty remarkable. It's incredible to see and to read about the things that we can read about in Scripture. But because we have faith, we can believe the incredible. We believe in the miracles that are recorded in the Bible. But consider this incredible thing that we believe. that God could love and save a sinful man. That God could love and save you and me. Over in John chapter 1 and in verse 14, in talking about Jesus, John said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so Jesus, I'm getting ahead of myself. I went to the wrong reference. That's the next point. John 3 and verse 16, of course, we know that passage. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If we believe in Him, we can have everlasting life. But why does God save us? Over in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, you remember what Paul said? "But God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's incredible. That even while we were sinful men and women, that God would make it possible for us to have salvation. But by faith, we believe it. We believe the incredible, that God could love and save us even though we were in sin. Back in Isaiah 53, I've got listed there. It was a passage you may remember talking about what Jesus would do for us. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." He went to the cross for you and for me and for all of your sins and for all of my sins. And indeed, that is incredible. But by faith, we can believe the incredible. Now, the point I was getting ahead of myself on a moment ago had to do with the incarnation of Christ. And I read from John chapter 1 and verse 14 that He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 likewise speaks about Jesus in a very succinct way. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up in glory." What a very concise way of talking about Jesus and how He came to this world. He lived as a man. He showed us how to live so that we, when this life is over, can be with Him in eternity. How He made a sacrifice of Himself to reconcile us to the Father, and He went back to the Father. But because of our faith in the Father and in the Son, Jesus Christ, we can believe some incredible things, and perhaps even some other points would be appropriate here. But let's go on. Let's look at something else. Faith believes the incredible, but faith also sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, we can see a reference to the idea of seeing the invisible God. Here in chapter 11, again, it's that great chapter on faith. And here in verse 27, it says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Moses, what a great example of faith to us. But he was one who was able to see him who is invisible because of his eye of faith. We can see the unknown, the unseen future. Here in Hebrews chapter 11 again, back up to verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah had never seen what was coming. But because of faith in God, He was able to see the invisible. He was able to see something never seen or experienced before. As someone said, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And I think Noah was one who knew who held the future. And thus he could see with a vision of faith what he what was going to come, and thus he made the necessary preparations, as we know. But also by our eye of faith, we can see the promises of God long before they might come. Here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, once again, skip down to verse 13, where the writer of Hebrews says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." They didn't see them. He said that they greeted them from afar. And, here they are, Old Testament saints, hundreds of years beforehand, and they are seeing the promises that God was making to them. I mean, he's just talked about Abraham in the previous verses. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and we can see the promises that God was making to him. And by faith, he saw them. But it was hundreds of years before they were accomplished. Well, our faith must cause us to have vision too. Our faith must allow us to see the ultimate fulfillment of those things that God promises even to us. A vision so strong that our goal is always before us. A vision so powerful that we won't break our gaze away from it. A vision so precious that we wouldn't trade anything for it. We need to ask ourselves if that's the kind of faith that we have. Do we have the faith to see the invisible in regards to the promises of God? Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew 6 and verse 33? Jesus said, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He was talking about food, clothing, shelter, as you can see in the previous verses. And he says, if we seek him and his kingdom first, then all those things would be added unto us. Do we have an eye of faith enough to see and believe that? I've known a lot of brethren over the years who didn't, who couldn't, who were convinced that, yes, even though the Lord said to put him and his kingdom first, that he would take care of the needs, but no, we've got to forsake the assembling of the saints together so we can, so we can work those extra hours to afford those extra things we want in life. And in reality, we're saying we don't really believe the promises of God. Another passage that comes to my mind, yes, I did put it on there, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. This is one of those passages you need to print out and put on your refrigerator or bathroom mirror, where he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it." What a wonderful promise that God has given to us. Are we able to see God's promise? Are we able to see the invisible and see that he will fulfill all his promises, this one included? I hope we can see and understand that. I hope we can see that he'll fulfill those promises to us and indeed not allow us to be tempted above our ability to endure it. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 once again. In Hebrews chapter 11, I wanted us to go back and notice verses 26 and 27. We looked at verse 26 a moment ago. Accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We read the second of those verses a few minutes ago. But do you see what he's saying? Here Jesus wasn't anywhere near on the scene. It's more than 1,500 years later before Jesus is even born. And yet he was able to see him who is invisible. He was able to see Jesus back in his day and time. And this is the key that kept Moses going in the wilderness. The key to his meekness and the key to his greatness, the fact that he had eyes on the promises of the Messiah. Abraham also saw Jesus' day and rejoiced. John chapter 8 and verse 56. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 points out that we walk by faith, not by sight. And indeed, we've got to have the kind of faith that will allow us to see the invisible, those things that are not necessarily right smack in front of us, but because God said it, we believe it. And so we believe the incredible. Faith believes the incredible, but it also sees the invisible. But one other point that I wanted us to make this evening, and that is this, that faith achieves the impossible. Faith is able to achieve some impossible things. And we can use Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, as an example. We've been spending a lot of time here in Hebrews 11. Well, let's use them as an example. Notice in verses 8 through 11, as he talks about Abraham and Sarah. He said, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents, which Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Stop and consider how Abraham and Sarah, how they were able to achieve the impossible. They were both well beyond normal age for giving birth, for having children, and yet God blessed them in their late years of life to produce children, or more importantly, to produce the child, Isaac, through which the promise of God would be fulfilled. Well, we need to understand that faith can achieve impossible things. You remember during the life of Jesus, some impossible things that were accomplished by faith. You remember over in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 30 and 31. Matthew 14 verses 30 and 31, talking about Peter. But when he saw the wind, you remember the story? Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter goes down and is walking on the water with him. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? As long as his faith was holding up, he was holding up. He was able to walk on water. We can't walk on water. We can't walk on water. That's impossible. But by faith, he was able to do that. Jesus in Matthew 17 and verse 20, he said there, because of your little faith, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. In your life, faith can remove mountains, can remove the mountains of doubt and fear. It can remove mountains for you. Faith can give you hope and purpose in life. It can show you what the goal of your life needs to be, and you can work toward it. Faith can reform people. It can achieve the impossible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, he describes how the Corinthians once were. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 9, Paul said, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye were washed. But ye were sanctified. But ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. It doesn't matter how sinful and repugnant in the sight of God we may become. By faith, we can achieve the impossible and become what God wants us to be. And we need to remind ourselves of that. There's different examples that we might think of in our life. I'm standing here thinking about two, where people were able to accomplish some really remarkable changes in their life. I had a cousin who ran away from home while I was still quite young, you know, early teens at that. She ran away from home and she became a prostitute. We didn't even know where she was or if she was even still alive for years. And I remember my Uncle Albert always saying that once she hit bottom, that's when she would bounce back. And that's exactly what happened. She hit bottom and she bounced back. She came back, and I was there the morning that my cousin, her brother, Sammy, walked her down the aisle as she made her life right with God. She met a young man who had a desire to preach the gospel. And so he became a preacher, and she became a preacher's wife. In more recent years, he became an elder, and she was an elder's wife. And she's been a wonderful example to so many people of what you can overcome by faith. We can achieve impossible things by faith. Again, no matter how far down in the hole we might allow ourselves to go, we, by faith, can be able to correct that, to make it right. Here once again in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, how can sinful man ever be pleasing before God? And really, the answer is throughout this chapter, and that is faith. In verses 5 and 6 again, he said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For he hath had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well pleasing unto God. And without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. So we can change by faith. It can allow us to make those reforms that we must make. You know, some people want to make those reforms even before they become a Christian. I need to correct this. I need to get right in these areas first. But no, you can't. You can't really do that, because the only way to really do that is by faith. And the faith that will do that is the kind of faith that will first respond to the Lord's invitation and make their life right with Him. That's where the reform starts, is with that faith. And so faith believes the incredible. It sees the invisible. And it achieves the impossible. That's what will get us through so many things in this life, is faith. Faith in God. Faith in His Son. Faith in the promises of God. Faith in so many things revealed in God's Word. We're to be people of God who are living in righteousness. The righteous are to live by faith. Over in Romans chapter 1, when Paul was beginning the book of Romans, apparently there were some that were thinking Paul was ashamed of them in Rome and not coming there for that. In verse 15, he said of Romans chapter 1, he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. From beginning to end, this righteousness is by faith. Faith will give us the victory to overcome the world. And I hope that that's the kind of faith that we have, and if not, the kind of faith that we will make sure that we have, so when this life is over, we can stand acceptably before Him. We must not be ashamed of Him in any way. We've got to have faith to carry us through. Is that the kind of faith that you have? Do you have the kind of faith like we've seen illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11, in those examples we looked at this evening? Faith is the victory. Will you allow faith to be the victory for you in your life, in your spiritual life? I hope and pray that you will. If you're here tonight and you're not right in God's sight, don't put it off. Don't delay any at all. Make things right with Him tonight while together we stand and while we sing.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.